If you will, I want you to open God's Word. If you haven't already, we're going to be looking, as Pastor Stacy read just a few minutes ago, from Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. And I know that that is not an unfamiliar passage to you. If you've spent any time in the household of God, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you know the what we term the Great Commission. You've seen that. You've heard it so very many times. Well, what I want to do this morning, my assignment from Pastor Richardson was, I gave him the month of November. I said, I want you to lay the groundwork for discipleship. Just lay that out in front of us. That's why he's here. This has been his heartbeat. It's not just winning people to faith in Christ, but also so working in the lives of men and women that they follow Christ all the days of their life, right? It's easy to start a race. It's not hard to start a race. A lot of people start a race, but not everybody, what? Finishes. Starting is easy. Finishing is something totally different, right? I've told you time and time again that I pray that my kids and my wife will be able to put on my tombstone, he served the purpose of God in his generation, and then he died. I mean, what better else can be said about you, right? That's what was said of David, according to the book of Acts. That scripture says that he served the purpose of God as long as he lived, and then he died. And that ought to be what you want, that you desire that. And so the question that I want you to think about is, how is it that at this stage of my life, I am chasing after what we call chasing after the holy, that you are chasing after Christ? How is it that that's true of you, if it is true of you? Maybe you're here this morning because you're just here for a baby dedication. But on the whole, even though you would say, I am a believer in Christ, I believe when I die, I'm going to go to heaven, but I don't get that all caught up in, you know, going to church. I don't do that a whole lot, but I think everything's fine with me. What would you say if I told you that that kind of attitude is the same kind of attitude if a man said, you know, I'm glad that I'm married, but I'm not all that keen about going home all the time? I show up periodically just so she remembers who she's married to. You know, if I only came home every other week and just for a couple of days, what do you think Catherine would do? I can tell you, I know the woman. She would have the locks changed. She'd say, I tell you what, I hope you like sleeping outside because you're not sleeping in here, right? And so there's really no difference. They're both the same, because the reason that I'm here is not to gain brownie points with the Father. I am here, and I would think you are here, because he is your Father. And you want to be with him. And the rest of us are family, and you want to be with them. I'm not coming to get brownie points. You're not coming to get brownie points. You're coming because you're family, right? That's why you're here. And so we're talking about what do disciples do? You see, the question, we've been asking the wrong question way too long. We've been asking the question, are you born again? That's not really the premier question. The premier question that settles that question is, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? And that means, are you chasing him? You see, the mark that I'm really born again is that I'm chasing him. That's why the Apostle Paul said, examine yourself today to see whether or not you are in the faith. You see, Paul said, you don't determine whether or not you're born again by what happened back here when you were seven. I don't determine whether or not I'm born again because I was baptized at 19. I determine my relationship with God based upon today. What's happening today in my life? Does my life today say that what happened at 19 was real? Or is there no connection between my today and what happened at 19? Does that make sense? Amen. Right? Okay. And so that's what I want to be us, that's the way we are. We don't put stock in history. We put stock in what's happening right now. So I want you to look, if you get out your life point outline, if you haven't already done that, if you don't have one, there's some in the chair in front of you. Just pull one of those out. I've got some places in there where you can fill in the blanks. Why do I have you do that? Because I don't even remember everything I said Monday morning. There, I said it. You know, I mean, this stuff is so good, and I still don't remember it come Monday morning. And that's why you need to take notes. Why? Because we've all got the same thing, a real good forgetter, right? And so you take notes so you can remember what was said. So here's our core statement. This is like the center, all right? The central work, the all-consuming focus of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to make disciples who make disciples, or DMDs, disciple-making disciples. So that would just be one of our little statements around here. Are you a DMD? You know, we're seeking to raise up a generation of DMDs. And somebody's going to say, you're doing what? DMDs, disciples who make disciples. That's what God is all about. That's what Jesus taught. And that's what you read just a few minutes ago. You heard Pastor Stacy reading from Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Now, this whole series that we're in during the month of November, right, is all about clarity. It's about clarity. And it's about clarity. What does it mean, listen, to be a disciple, not a convert, a disciple, of Jesus Christ? I want you to look at the first truth in your outline. Biblical Christianity isn't about making converts. It's about making disciples, and not just disciples, but DMDs, disciples who make disciples. So I'm going to say that several times because I want it to just be in your mind. Now, I want you to look on the screen. We're going to put up there Matthew 28, 19. And I want you to notice as we read through this, these are our Lord's last words to the disciples before he ascended. And look what he said. And it's on the screen. He says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, here's what I want you to notice. If you look up there on that screen, notice those verbs. You've got go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. What I want you to understand is in the original Greek, there is only one verb, not four. There's only one, and that is make disciples. Those other three are actually participles. And what does a participle do, class? It modifies the verb, right? And so what he's literally saying, what the Lord is saying is, I want you to make disciples. When, Lord? I want you to make disciples as you go. I want you to make disciples as you are teaching, and I want you to make disciples as you are baptizing. So you baptize to make disciples. You teach to make disciples. You go for the whole purpose of making disciples. That's why you do all of this. And so here's the insight in your outline. Above all that the church does day to day, making disciples who make disciples is the core. That's the core. And so what I'm really doing is we're rehearsing in our minds so that it gets inside of us, and this is what we think about when we think about what am I supposed to be doing as a believer. This is going to put feet, this is going to connect the dots for so many of us because we have been itching and we've been bored in the household of faith because we have thought the primary purpose of us as a believer is we are simply to do good, not see our name in the paper, especially on the court docket, and we're to do whatever we can just to have a good name for the Lord Jesus Christ, come on Sunday morning, be quiet, sit still, put some money in the till, and then go home and be good. And that's not what it's all about. Amen? Amen. Right? Okay. It is about making disciples, helping other people live a life for Christ. So number one in your notes, what a disciple is. Now, I read an interesting story that I just got to share with you. I saw this, I got to share this with my people. I read about this 911 call that came in, and the operator answered, and there was a voice on the other end, and he was just wailing. And he was saying, "Bubba's dead. Oh, Bubba's dead. We were out hunting. And he clutched his heart and he keeled over. And now he's not moving. Oh, he's dead. He's dead." And so the 911 operator said, Okay, now just calm down. Calm down. Sir, I need you to remain calm. First of all, I want you to confirm, I want you to confirm that he's dead." And so it's just quiet. And so she said, "Hello? Hello?" And then all of a sudden she's listening, she hears some scuffling, and then there's a loud shotgun blast. And it's quiet. And then he comes back on the line and he says, "Okay, now what?" I thought it'd take a while. Now, I know that's not a true story, I hope. Or somebody's doing jail time. But it points, it makes a point that I want to begin with, and that is this. Clarity, especially when it comes to what our assignment is as God's child, is crucial. That's what September and November have all been about. That's what we've been talking about. Who are we as a church? Who are we? Where is it that we're going? So that you know, where are we headed? What are we called to do? You remember a few weeks ago, I told you about a book that I read several years ago. It's a classic, and it's Robert Coleman's The Master Plan of Evangelism. So if you want clarity on what a child of God is to be doing, you can get you a copy of that. I think it's still in print. But anyway, Coleman made this huge observation. I want you to listen to what he said. And this is years ago. This is like back when I first started in ministry, back in the early 70s. He said, "The Great Commission is not merely to go to the ends of the earth preaching the gospel, nor to baptize a lot of converts, nor to teach them the precepts of Christ, but to make disciples, to build men like themselves who were so constrained by the commission of Christ that they not only followed Jesus themselves, but," and here's the key, "they led others to follow Jesus too. The criteria upon which any church should measure its success," now listen, "is not how many new names have been added to the church roll this year. It is not how much has the budget increased, but rather how many professing believers are winning souls and training them to also go and reach other people for Jesus Christ." You know, for decades, our convention, the Southern Baptist Convention, we have judged our success, and I've done this. I have judged my success as your shepherd based on how many people attend. And so if I was to look out here this morning and I see this great crowd, I would think, I'm doing what God put me here to do. I've got all these people coming. It's about how many people attend, or it's about how many decisions have we seen made in the church this year. How many people have said, I want to come to faith in Christ. I want to receive Christ. How many times have we seen the baptismal water stirred? That would be our measurement of how we're doing and how we compare ourselves to other churches. But I want you to look at the truth in your outline. Heaven, and this is biblical, heaven doesn't celebrate the three B's, baptisms, buildings, and budgets. Heaven only celebrates disciples. Listen to Luke 15, verse 7. Jesus said this, our Lord. He said, "I guarantee that there will be more happiness in heaven, over one person who turns to God and changes," listen, "the way he thinks and acts than over 99 righteous people who've already turned to God and have God's approval." So what does the Bible say that God and the angels get happy about? About disciples. And the word disciple comes from the Hebrew word Talmud, all right? And Talmud can be translated like student, all right? But it's more than a student. when they use the word Talmud, they were talking about a Jew who wanted to move forward. They wanted to do something for God. I want my life to count for God. That's what a Talmud, that's at the heart of it. And so what they would do is they'd find a rabbi, they'd find a teacher, somebody they wanted to emulate. And they would want to follow them there because they believed in their cause. And what they would do is they would go and they'd just sit at their feet. Maybe they're out on the hillside teaching and they'd just get in the crowd and they'd just get down and just sit there and just listen. And so they would sit and go and that was what they were doing when they did that is they were making application. They were simply saying, can I follow you? I want to follow you. I want to listen to you. And then that rabbi would begin asking them questions. They'd find out who they were. They'd find out about their background, and they would watch their life. And if after a period of time they thought, okay, this guy could make a worthy Talmud, a disciple, somebody who could carry on my cause, then they would allow that person to follow them for the next several years, imitating everything that they did. And I want you to look at the insight in your outline. A disciple did not merely want to know what his master knew, but do what his master did. And so what that means is, if I am really being what God wants me to be, it isn't just what I believe. It's what I do. It's what I do with my life during the days of the week. And maybe you've wondered, what do believers do? Is it just that we're supposed to be good? Is that the mark of a real believer? You just don't get your name in the paper, you know, in the court docket? Is that what it means? Is that what God's after? Is that all that there is? And I know that there are some of you, you've been wondering, why is it I am so bored in church? And it's because you've never been turned loose to do what Jesus Christ wanted you to do in the first place. God wants to add significance to your life. The highest compliment in the days of Christ that you could say to somebody, that you could give a Talmud, was to say, the dust of your rabbi is all over you. What did that mean? It simply meant you're walking so close to your teacher that whatever he steps in splashes up on you. And so our whole point is that you and I would so follow the Lord that we would just resemble Christ to people around us. And that would be attractional. And so back to our text in Matthew 28. The verb, make disciples, does not describe the act of leading somebody just to faith. It doesn't mean you just win them to Jesus. It also means you help them keep going with Jesus. You come back and you say, now that's step one. Now let me show you what God wants you to be doing from here on. And you help them do what you've learned to do. Let me tell you what that means for us. This is what I wrote down because I was just thinking about us. Listen, you and I are not going to reach our world. We're not going to reach our Lufkin, our Angelina County for Christ by Harmony Hill being known as the biggest ministry in Lufkin or Angelina County. That's not how we're going to accomplish what God wants to do. Just because somebody say, well, Harmony Hill is the biggest church around. That's still not the answer. We're not going to get the job done just by saying, you know, Harmony Hill's got some of these uber-talented preachers. What is it that's going to get it done? It is rather that what they say about Harmony Hill is that there's a bunch of ordinary men and women who are so full of the Holy Spirit that everywhere they go, they make disciples. Man, there's people that are just on fire. They're living everyday lives, and they're more and more people are just doing what God has called them to do, and that church is exploding. And you can't hardly, if you want to come to worship on the hill, you better get there early because the seats are a premium. Wouldn't you love for that to be said about the hill? Hello. You know what that requires? That we are disciples and not just converts. Looking at the convention. I mean, J.D. Greer, some time back, he was talking at the convention, and he said, a movement of disciples making disciples is God's plan for reaching the world. And he said, you, looking at the convention, he said, you are God's method. How's God going to reach the world? Through you and me, one person at a time. Disciples making disciples. Now, if you're like me, you're probably thinking, what, John, what can I do? I don't know that much. I'm not super talented. Listen, it doesn't matter. I want you to listen very carefully. I want you to listen to this. Jesus said that discipleship is not about your ability. It is about your availability. Any of you tweet? Tweet that. Put that out. Jesus said, it's not about your ability, it is about your availability. In fact, that's the truth. Disciple making isn't about ability, but availability. That the Holy Spirit can use you on the job, at the gym, at the park, wherever, why? To be attractional to men and women who are lost, and that you get them into a relationship where what you're simply, you're trying to pass on to them, this is how you follow Jesus every day of your life. The hill becoming what God put her here to do, be a discipling church, begins with two words coming from my mouth and your mouth. You know what those two words are? Yes, Lord, yes. I want to do it. Kevin Ezell is the president of the North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. This is the largest church planting organization in the world. This is a group through whom, us here on the hill, this is who we will work through to plant churches in the future. When we will sometime in the future, we're going to send out some people to plant a church. That's going to happen as we become a disciple. Our church is going to do that. And it is by the North American Mission Board that you and I have already helped to finance 4 university churches on university campuses in the Northwest called Resonate. Now put this in your outline, because I want you to remember this. I want you to remember what you have done here on the hill. Our 4 campus churches that we, along with NAM, have planted are, number 1, Western Washington University, that's in Bellingham, Washington, the University of Montana in Missoula, Montana, Montana State University in Bozeman, and Lethbridge University in Lethbridge, Canada. And Ezell went on to say, he said, the greatest need in the North American Mission Board is not money. You never thought you'd hear somebody say that, did you? He said, it's not money. He said, it is qualified planters. And these are his actual words. He said, of course, we always need more money, but we have more money right now than we do qualified planters and church leaders. Why is that? It is because churches have too long been focused on just winning people to Jesus and not discipling them. That's why we've got born-again children of God who are living ungodly lives. Why? Because they have not gotten into that the lifestyle of following Jesus every day of their life. They're on again, off again, in the world, out of the world, in the world, out of the world, because they're not being discipled to follow Christ. And there's so many people today, they don't even know if they're really born again. Why? It's because they're grieving the Holy Spirit in their heart. They're in sin, out of sin, and their life is just messed up. And it's because they were never taught how to follow Christ as he taught us here in the Word. We have acted for way too long, beloved, like the main scorecard is getting people in the door, getting them baptized, and that is important. But we cannot forget that Jesus called us to disciple them and turn them into spiritual leaders. And here's the insight in your outline. You maybe can't teach like me, but you can invite someone into your life to observe your walk with Jesus, to show them how you follow Jesus like you follow him. There are so many of you, you are consistent in your walk with the Lord. How did you get that way? How did you get that way? That's what somebody who's behind you needs to know. They need to know how you made it. How is it that you have been married to your husband or your wife 40 years and you still love them? And you're not staying simply because you don't want to go through a divorce. simply because you don't want financial difficulty. You're staying in it because you are committed to what Christ wanted you to be committed to. How did you get that way? How did that happen? There are some young people that are saying, show me how you did that. I don't know how to do that. And then young couples struggling. Young people in high school, in university settings, how did you make it through and keep your faith? How did you do that? That's what Jesus said, I want you to be a disciple maker. Go and make disciples. What does it mean? It simply means you're telling them how to follow Christ. You help them by leading them in the Word. You know, here on the Hill, we've been reaching people over four decades. And that I think, just kind of comes naturally to us. We've expanded our membership here on the Hill from 120 to over 2,000. But discipleship, not as natural. Not as natural. And that's partially my fault. We have focused a lot on reaching, growing wide, getting bigger. And I haven't focused as much on going deep. And the reality is, it's easy to get a mile wide and be an inch deep. You know what I'm saying? And it's time to change. It's time to do it different. There are many of you that want to lead. You want to do something in some kind of capacity. You want God to use you. Well, what I'm saying to you is, if you're wanting to be used, be a DMD. Be a disciple who makes disciples. That's it. That's what God wants you to do. That is your chance. So I want you to jump in the first Saturday in December. Remember, December 5th, we're having our DMD class. Be from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And you need to sign up for that. And you go on our app and do that. So you sign up for that first Saturday in December. And just come and learn. Don't be afraid. Why? Jesus said, you got to where you are some way. You know how I helped you. Now, I want you, this is my will for you. I want you to find somebody who's behind you, and I want you to help them get to where you are. How many of you understand what I just said? Good deal. That's the plan. There's somebody behind you. You find them and help them get where you are. You teach them how you got to where you are, right? All right, so here, let me close with this. What disciples do. And that's what Pastor John wanted me doing. He said, what do disciples do? Oh, okay. So here we go. There are five core identities. These are quick, so let me get through real quick, all right? And they're essentials. Jesus talked about them when he said, I want you to teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. I had somebody the other day called in at the church and said, I heard you preaching in September. And you said that we are to go and disciple other men and women and teach them to obey all the things that Jesus has commanded us. And she said, what things? What are we supposed to teach people? And I thought, well, that's a good question. And then John comes up and he says, what do disciples do? So let me give you five things, all right? What do disciples do? First of all, a disciple is a worshiper, one who treasures Christ and his word. Chris Tigran is a devotional writer. He said this. He said, worship is not part of the Christian life. It is the Christian life. Everything in Christianity starts with this. It starts with worship. I come because I belong to him, and I want to worship him. Listen to the great commandment, Matthew 22, 37. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. So here's the truth in your outline. A disciple of Jesus Christ is first and foremost a worshiper. You worship because you can't do anything else. Why do you go home every night? because you love him, because you love her. Can I get a testimony? Right? Yeah. If you only came home once a month, what do you think your spouse would think? What do you think God thinks? When we work him in, when it's convenient. And so here on the hill, we see there are two disciplines that fulfill that command of Christ. And that is, number one, a commitment to regular corporate worship with others. You see, a lot of times people think that at the end of the week, we go to worship. We worship at the beginning of the week, right? Sunday is the first day of the week. It's not the seventh day. It's the first day. So how does a believer begin his week? We begin our week with worship. And then number two, then every day we have personal worship. So those are two things. That's the mark that I belong to God. I am drawn to worship. Listen, when Kath and I are on vacation, we don't take a vacation from the Lord. Why? Because I love him. And so I want to find some place where I can worship the Lord. And then I do that on a daily basis. You get up early or you stay up late, whatever is your cycle, so that you worship him. All right, so a disciple, number one, is a worshiper. Number two, he's a family member. He or she is a family member living in community. If I am a disciple of Christ, I am actively and I am passionately committed to a church family. There is some place, that's where I belong. That's my family. Why? Because I am a worshiper. And as a worshiper, I'm a family member. It's part of who I am. A disciple of Jesus Christ, listen, write this down or tweet it. A disciple of Jesus Christ isn't just a believer, he's a belonger. He's a belonger. You belong. A lot of attenders think that church is something you attend. Listen, church is not something you attend. It is a family you belong to. It's a family. That's what a church is. You belong to it, you support it, and you love it. And Jesus taught that your spiritual family should be closer to you even than the members of your own earthly family. You say, I don't believe that. I thought you might say that. Matthew 12:46. This is what it said. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside wanting to speak to him. Somebody told him, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are out standing outside. They want to speak to you. And he said to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. I never rejected my mom or my dad. I love them. I love them to the day of their death. And I sought to be a faithful son to them. I did not neglect them. But that's not my only family. I was born and raised in Arkansas, and I am a Texan to the core today. Why? Because of you. I don't want to be anywhere else. You know why? Because you're my family. Here on the hill, our unity as a family is not based on the color of our skin. I don't care what your color is. Red, yellow, black, white, blue, brown, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your ethnic background. We're not a family because of our common age. My hair is white. Some of you don't have any hair. Some of you have colored hair still, and that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your tax bracket is. I don't care what kind of car you drive or what kind of house you live in. What I care about is what's in your heart, right? That's what makes the difference. So a disciple believes and a disciple belongs. And number three, a disciple is a servant who lives in generosity. A disciple is one who takes the Lord's posture of service to the world. You remember in John 13, verse 14, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. You remember that? Before the Last Supper. He even washed Judas's feet. Jesus taught, what was he saying? He was saying that if he who had all the power used that power to serve, then what he's saying is that you and I should use any power, any position, any privilege we have to meet the needs of other people. That you leverage what God has given you for the good of other people. And there are two applications that you write this down in your notes. It is number one, your gifts and your talents. In your career, do you look at your work? Is your work, what you do, is that simply a way for you to make money so that you can take care of your family? There's nothing wrong with that, but is that all that it is? Or is it for a place, is it something God has given you that you can bless others? Yeah, the work you do provides for you, puts food on the table. But God says your primary attitude to be is that you are a servant and the Lord has put you here to be a blessing to others. That God will lead you to bless. That's what Paul meant when he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he had all rights and all power, took upon himself the form of a servant, considering the needs of others more important than his own. And then you are a servant serving here on the hill. And you know, I talked to you so many times about that, about just what are the tangible ways that you can serve others in our church family. Are you if you volunteer to do anything, you could be out here on the parking lot welcoming greeters. Let me tell you something. Do you know first-time guests? This has been shown. This is proven again and again and again. First-time guests have already made their mind up in the first 10 minutes when they come to church whether or not they're going to come back. Simply by the way they're greeted, but when they come in, you know, are they made to feel welcome? Most of you that I'm looking at this morning, on Sunday morning when I am up here preaching, this is when I do roll call. Now I already know where you are. I know where you sit. You're such creatures of habit. I've seen some of you come in and somebody's sitting in your chair and you kind of walk by and you're like, And to your credit, you don't say, that's my chair. You know, you're going to have to move. That's mine. I appreciate you not doing that. Really, thank you. But, you know, you need to think about that when you're sitting in that chair, you already know who sits around you on a habitual basis. You ought to spark just like that when there's somebody there. It's like, okay, they're new. And so what do? You reach out to them. You reach out to them. You make them feel welcome. Why? Because that's what a disciple does. You are a servant. And number four, a disciple is a steward. A disciple realizes that anything he or she is given by God is not just for them. Here's the insight. Your money isn't your own. Now, you know, that's what we have to realize as a disciple. God has given me what he's given me for the sake of the kingdom. And that's why, you know, when we were going through the Let the Children Come campaign, we were doing that for our building, which, by the way, God willing, we're going to start in January. Hello. Are you glad to hear that? Yeah. And so I'll be talking about that a little bit more. We finally got all the plans finalized, and the bids have just now come in, so we're going to choose our bid, and then we'll be announcing that to you. And Lord willing, hopefully right after the first year, we'll start seeing some dirt moving again and see that children's building start to go up. But when we were in that Let the Children Come campaign, it was like, Lord, all these things, everything I have are yours. That's what Catherine and I said. Lord, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to give? Because whatever God wants me to give him, I'm obedient to that. If God knows, listen, if I put it in your hands, are you going to get sticky with it or will you let it go where I want it to go? Because the Lord said, I can give you whatever I want to give you. Everything's mine. And I give it to whoever I can trust. And that brings us to number five, a disciple is a witness. We are a witness. Every disciple is responsible to make other disciples. That's the point. That's the point. Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You said yes to Jesus saving you. The Lord says, I want you to say yes again to let me make you a disciple maker. You say, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Jesus said, trust me. I want you to trust me. If you will come to me, I will make you a fisher of men. I'll do it. I'll bring people to you, And even when you're talking to them and you're thinking, I don't know what I'm doing here, God says, I will work through you. If you will come to me, I will work through you, and we will make disciples. I will make you a fisher of men. Now, there's one easy way we're doing this in the convention. It's called Who's Your One? And I want you to write that down in your notes somewhere. Who's your one? And so here's what I want you thinking about. I want you to think about who would the Lord want me to reach out to and bring them into a relationship with Christ. And so you start praying, Lord, who's my one? It's somebody in your frame of reference. And just like, Lord, who's my one? Who do I need to reach out? Who do you want me to touch for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, are you a disciple? Are you a disciple of the Lord? Are you following him? Is there something that you need to be doing? There may be some of you that you've been coming here and you know this is where God wants you, but you've not stepped across the line to become a member, to put your name on the dotted line. And being a follower of Christ is about commitment. It's about making a commitment. I want to commit myself to this family. Oh, Lord, I want to commit myself to you, to follow you, to chase after you. Maybe you need to make a commitment to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. That's got a lot of people hung up. Just, do I need to do that? Yes, you need to do that. Just say, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I want us to bow our heads. Would you do that? Just bow your heads for just a moment. I'm going to be dismissing you in just a moment, letting you get up and leave. But as you do, I want you to think about this morning signing up for our discipleship class on December the 5th. I want you to think about this morning, who's your one? Lord, who do you want me to pour my life into? Why? Because this is what it's all about. It's about being a disciple who makes disciples. And I want you to think about that as you're leaving the household of faith this morning. This is giving you a reason for every day to be a disciple of his, to follow after him. Father, we just want to thank you so much for your word this morning. God, thank you for just speaking so clearly to our hearts. Thank you for giving us a pathway for our feet. And Lord, this morning, where we might be filled with fear, God, help us to remember your promise to us in Holy Scriptures, where you said, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. Follow me. And Father, I pray for every man and woman this morning who will follow you. They just follow you, because this is why we're here. This is what it's about. This is your will for us. We pray you'll bless us as we go. May our tithes and our offerings, Father, be blessed by you and be all that we need to do all that we need to do to build this building for the kids, for those that are yet to come. Go with us. Bless us with your blessing. We pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys.